93.3 KDKB Rocks, Arizona, and Metallica.
Live from the Tempe Autoplex Studios, Valley's original rock station, 93.3 KDKB HD1, Mesa, Phoenix.
We welcome into the Tempe Autoplex Studios the one and only Jim Norton. Welcome, brother. How are you, sir?
I'm very good, man. Thank you for having me. It's fun chatting with you off air, too.
Yeah, well, we go back by mutual friends. We go back a few years. I have a friend of mine that is... a big nugget, as we call him, one of those guys that follows you all over the place and calls you and like tells you where I am. And you're like, who the hell is this jackass? I have no idea who this is. You're in town tonight. Well, you're in town early for tomorrow night and Saturday at the Tempe Improv.
Yes, I'm doing two shows Friday, two shows Saturday. And our relationship, we have a mutual relationship with Opie and Anthony. I mean, I work with those guys.
Right.
And you worked with them before I did. And I've heard your name so many times. It really is weird. Like, everywhere I go,
right?
They're like a girl that has slept with everybody. Like every city I go to, there's one guy that's like, yeah, do you know Opie? You with Opie and Anthony still, right? And it's like, all right, what is this, a really good story, or did they attack your radio show?
Right.
I never know if it's going to be great or if I'm going to be some, you know, codependently trying to like diffuse the situation.
Yeah, I knew them when they were just kids, when they were just starting out together as a team.
Yeah.
We work together. Now they're big national radio stars and show up on your pay-per-views and on all your specials. And I'm here doing afternoon radio in Phoenix.
I think I'd still take Arizona because New York is freezing right now and it kind of sucks. So I think I'd rather be in Phoenix.
What's going on in your world outside of stand-up now? You've done a whole bunch of comedy specials and you actually done a couple of different sitcoms and stuff like that and DVDs. What is it that Jim does when he's not doing the radio show and the stand-up thing? You got...
Well, you read Happy Endings. I mean, that really is what I do. That really is what I do. I mean, I just call massage girls and, you know, I try to get them to do what I can get them to do. I mean, it really is a horrible existence.
Here's a story that I know that you'll appreciate. I've read 1.5 of your books. I haven't finished I Hate Your Guts, but I read Happy Endings. I'm not going to say the girl's name because obviously the environment is a little sensitive.
Yeah.
I had a friend of mine who needed to make a trip to the women's clinic.
Oh, wow.
So I thought to myself, I'm going to be waiting in the women's clinic for a couple hours. And what book should I read in the lobby of the women's clinic?
Oh.
So I thought to myself, I'm surrounded by like a dozen other guys who are there for the obvious reasons. And I'm flipping open Happy Endings. And I'm letting everybody see the cover, and I'm reading the whole thing. And I thought, I'm reading the book, and because I'm not going to read Better Homes and Garden.
Right, right, of course not.
You know what I mean? So I thought, well, I'm going to take something that's at least going to take my mind off of what's going on in this building.
Sure.
And I read your book, and I couldn't help, but like, I laughed out loud. Your book is a laugh out loud book.
Thank you.
Not the most appropriate environment. So you can tell people somewhere down the line that you know a guy that read your book in the lobby of an abortion clinic.
And it's funny. Yeah, I know. And what you were reading is probably more repulsive than what was happening in the rooms.
Somewhat.
That makes me happy.
Somewhat. So there you go. Your book is light reading in a very, very sensitive environment.
Yeah, it really should be in every abortion clinic.
I would think.
It would just convince you to go that route. So no, I appreciate that. Thank you.
You're welcome. You'll be able to tell that story a little later on
if you
want.
We were talking about the Zach roast. We missed each other at NAMM in Anaheim, which
yes.
I was there. We roasted Zach Wilde. And Ozzy was supposed to be there, but he had to go because Iommi has cancer. So
right.
they're just doing a bunch of... Sharon said he's going to be okay, though. She's like, no, it's treatable. But they want to do a bunch of recording before he really gets heavy into chemo just to get a lot of it completed.
Well, that makes sense.
So hopefully he'll be okay, but she was brutal as the roast master.
Now, did she write
barbaric.
Her own? Did she write her own stuff, or did you and a bunch of the guys get together and write stuff for her?
I didn't write for Sharon. There were writers there. I think it was a combination of guys writing, but there was so much of it. You could hear her inflection in, and you knew it was her, and they might have helped her tighten up and put it in quote-unquote joke form.
Right.
But she was barbaric. It couldn't air, though, because she has a weird PG clause in her, like, a lot of celebrities have that for network TV.
Sure.
And she wanted to take the gloves off, and that was one of the most fun things I've ever done in my career. She killed me so badly, I was actually uncomfortable and waiting for her to move on. It was hard to listen to.
You don't do a whole lot of those roasts, but the ones that you do, you're the perfect guy for it. I mean, there's a certain group of guys, about a half a dozen guys, that get the roasting thing. That, you know, when you go to, people go to a roast because they went away for like 20 years.
Yeah.
You know, before the Dean Martin roast and the
right.
Don Rickles roast used
yes.
to go to do. And then they went away and now they've come back. But you're one of those guys that if Jim Norton is on the roast, it's going to be ugly.
Thank you. Yeah, you know, it's funny. I've only done one for Comedy Central. They gave me one with Bob Saget, but he requested me.
Right.
And then for A&E, I did Gene Simmons, and then this Zach one. But I've done guys I want to do. Like, I would rather roast Gene Simmons, who I worshipped growing up,
right.
than anybody else, you know, in comedy. So I've done ones I really, really wanted to do.
How tough is it to sit there and listen to a hack comedian try a roast?
It's kind of tough. I mean, especially if you know there's no connection between the person and the subject. Like, you know, Bob Saget, I genuinely like. He's a friend.
Right.
Gene Simmons, I love. Zach Wilde, I love. Like, so these are guys that are fun to attack. I'm happy to be on the dais. But when you hear a guy just up there doing hacky stuff, it's like, come on, man, that's formulaic, you know? But that's partially the problem of the network for booking them. You know, it's like you should get people that you know are connected to this guy.
Right.
But, you know, they want to get people that are going to watch. Like Comedy Central for the Charlie Sheen roast. Hey, they book guys like Mike Tyson, but you know what? When regular people are talking, they're like, hey, I wonder what Mike Tyson had to say. So from a network point of view, it makes sense.
Tyson actually killed in comparison to people like Brigitte Nielsen and the situation. That was like listening to hair grow.
Oh, was he awful?
It was terrible. Beyond,
did he do the Charlie
terrible.
Sheen? I know he did the Trump roast. Did he do Charlie Sheen?
He did the Trump one, and it was just terrible.
Yeah, I heard he had a rough
abortive.
Time.
It was bad.
Well, he's known for his abs. I mean, you know, we all want to be this situation, just kind of an absolute dumbbell with a great body. But, you know, you shouldn't be putting him on a roast. I mean, and that's not even his fault. He's just doing what he does, which is being an idiot.
And you, let me ask you this question. If you guys are out there and you got guys that you have a connection to, do you feel like if you have that connection, you have to be more brutal? You're expected to be more brutal because you're brutal in real life, like off the air.
Yeah.
Like you're behaving yourself now.
Yeah, sure.
People that don't know Jim Norton that have gone to the show, that haven't gone to a show, that should go out to the Tempe Improv tomorrow and Saturday, if you don't know what you're getting into, you're in for a big surprise. Jim right now is coming across as being a very, you know, level-headed,
yeah,
even guy.
Well, I can't curse. My act is kind of like, it's like Caligula with a laugh track.
Nice.
It's the best way to, you know, if you remember the wedding scene, how great was that?
Yeah, I own Caligula on DVD.
I do too.
I love Caligula. One of my favorite movies of all time.
Yeah.
Helen Mirren when she was young.
Yes.
And for those of you that want to go out and rent Caligula, we'll do the Caligula movie review. When you get caught drinking on duty in Caligula, you're in a lot more trouble.
Yeah, that was, and you know, it's funny. I asked, because I met Malcolm McDowell and I asked him about that. Like, how did you get guys like Peter O'Toole and
right.
Malcolm and John Gielgud to do what turned to Guccione into a porno?
Right.
And they said that they shot those scenes at night. Like, they shot all the stuff with the real, quote unquote, real actors during the day with Helen Mirren. And then at night, they shot this hardcore stuff and they pieced it together and made a great film.
Sequel?
I wish they would be, but they'd probably screw it up, though. They'd probably put, you know, Colin Farrell in it, you know. And
Dane
all the,
Cook.
Yeah, they're just all the hot guys. Although, I'll tell you what, Dane's a better actor than people think. Like,
right.
He just did some weird movie with the chick from Lost, and I was like, wow, he's actually really a good actor, which really makes me sick when a guy who can sell out arenas can also act. That just hurts.
Now, you've hung out with him and stuff. Does he get an unfair rap as being a douche?
Very unfair. Dane's a good dude. It's a comedian. If a guy has a problem with him,
right?
Fine, attack him. But what happened was comedians felt like, oh, I'm hip if I attack Dane because he's the big guy. And they thought that they were going to be seen as dangerous by other comedians. And that's where it got really phony because he's a nice guy. He's not a scumbag. He's a cool dude, man. He's not a bad dude at all. And I watched him shoot one of his specials. I went to Boston Garden.
Right.
And you know what? What he was doing belonged in an arena. It worked. It was funny. He became a real easy target for guys. And when I would watch guys who did not have legitimate beefs with him attacking him, it would kind of annoy me. Because, you know, as a guy I've known for many, many years, he's not a bad guy at all. He's actually a nice guy, and the criticism hurt him.
Do you think, what are the things that you won't go after? Because, like, you know, do you think that the target has to be deserving of ridicule? Like, you don't go after the innocent for the most part.
No, I go after everything. I'll tell you why, because I think Matt and Trey said it best from South Park. It's either all okay or none of it's okay. There are ways to do it. Like, when I make fun of people in wheelchairs, yeah, you know, but if there's a guy in the wheelchair in the front, you have to avoid seeming purposefully cruel.
Right.
But I will do race with black people in the audience. Or, of course, I'll make fun of women with women in the audience. So I think that everything is fair game. It depends on where you put the emphasis of the joke. Like 9/11 was a horrible thing, so you don't even make fun of victims. But to say that 9/11 as a topic, of course you can talk about it because it's like any other event that happens. You know, it's to me, it's a relief to laugh at things that are horrible. It's easy to laugh at somebody slipping on the ice,
right.
But it's hard to laugh at somebody dropping dead. And to me, that's the challenge as a comic. Or Sandusky. I mean, as a comic, that's a dream come true. All the dumb stuff he was saying defended himself. So it's kind of fun to go on stage and really attack Jerry Sandusky.
You want to hear something great?
Sure.
This radio station is owned by a company called Sandusky Broadcasting.
Do
you know how tough it is for me to not make those jokes?
Oh, fantastic.
To have them not come back? Because, you know, you say Sandusky and then enter joke here. You know, I'm going to get an email from the owners going, oh. So I
Well, the name recognition. I did a show in Baltimore, and I was making fun of Sandusky. They said, we have a guy on this station who is a sports guy whose name is Jerry Sandusky. So he was getting hate mail, and like he kept trying to defend himself by going, like, no, I spell my name with a G, which I guess, you know.
That makes a difference?
Yeah, as a Molotov cocktail is flying through your window. It's like, with a G. It's my friend Hitler with two R's. You know, but yeah, the name is really, there's a real black eye on that name. Sandusky's a rough one to have right now.
That'd be a tough one.
Yeah.
So do you have time to hang out for just a couple more minutes?
I do, yeah. I'm enjoying this.
All right, excellent. Let's get a song out of the way as Jim Norton joins us. Now, you're a big metal guy. You like the metal. You host a little satellite radio metal program.
The Boneyard. I'm on every night, 10 to 11 p.m. I love metal.
Do you miss the real Guns N' Roses?
You know what? I do, but Axl's such a weirdo. I wouldn't want to wait till 4 in the morning for him to go on.
Well, there you go. Here's the real Guns N' Roses for you. It's 93.3 KDKB. We'll be back with more Jim Norton tomorrow and Saturday at the Tempe Improv. Get your tickets. It's 93.3 KDKB. KDKB Rocks Arizona Guns N' Roses. Neanderthal joined by Jim Norton, who is at the Tempe Improv tomorrow night and Saturday. Thank you, by the way, for coming in early. The guys at the Improv told me you literally just got off a plane and came over here.
I did, yeah. We landed a couple hours ago and came here. I'm happy to do it, though. It's good to come in and do some press. So none of the local shows, none of the TV shows will have me on.
Why?
Because they're dummies. They're all worried I'm going to curse. It's like I've done Leno about 30 times. I'm not going to curse on your network. But they panic. Like, oh, you might say something.
Well, our friend Patrice O'Neill came in, and they gave him, who's obviously not with us anymore, very sad story. But Patrice came in, and one of the networks gave him, like, the questionnaire. You know, the questionnaire, like, you know, things that to try and, you know, so that they can give the talking heads sort of a thumbnail sketch of a person that's coming on their show that they have no idea who he is.
Sure, sure.
And he was putting stuff in there, like, you know, interest, and he wrote stuff like, Hitler got a bad rap. And, like, he gave them all this, like, this horrible things you like to do in your spare time. He's like, meth and molest little kids. Like, he answered all that stuff and handed it to them, and they just looked at the answers, and they were like, oh.
That's
and
funny.
They had nothing for him. So Patrice made those people very uncomfortable.
All right, so Patrice ruined it for all of us. Because whenever you went into a place after Patrice, it was never a good story. It was never like, he was so nice to everybody. It's really fun. I'm happy he did that. Good. Ruined their morning.
Jim Jefferies is like that, too.
I love Jim Jefferies. Too. I think he stopped drinking, which is really good.
No!
Yeah, I hope so. He is a disaster.
Yes, he is. Yeah, he came in here a few months ago, and he was still on the sauce. He said he's terrified of bananas? I was not. What the hell is that?
You can't bring them to a show or anything, honestly, because he will walk off stage. But he has a weird fear. If you open a banana in front of him, and it's not a joke and it's not a bit, he will run out of the room.
Why?
Something must have happened. I mean,
yeah, bad touch. I need an adult.
We can put two and two together. Yeah,
maybe
an exposed banana makes him freak out. But it's a horrible phobia. Like those things.
Do you know the name of it? Banana phobia.
Yeah,
I guess
probably.
Maybe?
Yeah, molested. I'm sure. It's probably because on Tyra Banks you'd see all these weird phobias,
right?
And you always thought they were crap, but this is a real terror he has.
This is the thing. You can always tell somebody by the company he keeps. Jim Norton hangs out with Jim Jefferies. He hangs out with Louis C.K. He hangs out with Robert Kelly. You hang out with some of the most decadent human beings on the face of the earth. All of my favorite comedians.
Oh,
like,
good.
You don't hear you hanging out with, like, you know, you don't even hang out with Carrot Top and those guys.
No, although I like Carrot Top because he's a big Bunny Ranch fan. Like, I think deep down he's a real dirtbag. Like, and I mean that with affection.
Sure.
People don't like he has this. He does props, but he's like, you know, all muscled out and roided out.
Yeah,
absolutely. He's a complete psychopath. And he's pretty funny as a guy. Like, he's really self-deprecating. He kind of hates his own guts a little bit. And
well, you all do, though. That's kind of why you do this.
Most comics do. I don't know Seinfeld well. I know him casually.
Sure.
But with him, I think...
Do I have to give you a name drop? Because that, I think...
No, because I'm saying I don't know him well.
Okay.
Like, literally, I've met him casually. And hi, how are you? Okay, good. And that's it. Like,
right.
We have no friendship. But with him, I think it's like more of an OCD thing. That was what my guess would be.
Right.
But he's the one guy I can't see as having self-hatred.
Who's the guy that's, and I don't want you to, I guess I do. Who's the guy that was completely shocking to you? Because I'll tell you mine afterwards. But who's the guy that you met? Like, I know you met Richard Pryor. I mean, Jesus, you've met Richard Pryor. You've met
Kinison. Yeah.
You've met all those guys that are no longer with us. And obviously, Patrice was a close friend. Who was the guy that you met that was like a comedy legend for you or somebody that you looked up to that completely disappointed you?
Honestly, I'm not being polite. None of them. I met Rodney, we interviewed on Opie and Anthony. Carlin I got to interact with. I got to do a sketch with him on Tough Crowd.
No kidding.
He played a priest. I played an altar boy.
I'm sure I know where this went.
Yeah, it actually didn't go into the area that it probably should have. Him and Colin are both playing priests, and I just ruined the sketch. I walk out with an album, and I ask him to autograph it, and then he curses at me and Colin, and the sketch ended. It was really great because Colin just cursed at us on television. None of them have disappointed me. I mean, Robert Klein was one of my idols.
No kidding.
They've all been nice to me, but I think comedians, when they find out you're a comedian, treat you pretty well. So I haven't had any. Gene Simmons, I had a run-in with the first time I met him, or the second time I met him. Who was there? Derek Jeter was kind of a douche, but most of the comics, if not all of them, have been great.
No kidding. Mine was Carlin.
Oh no! What happened?
George Carlin, for me, and maybe it's because I'm just a radio guy, but he started out in radio. You would think that he would have, you know, he would have some compassion for from where he came. I have found, and not all you guys are this way, but I have found that there are some comedians that are only on when they're on, like when the meter's running. There are some comedians I'll allow to do phone interviews. Most guys, you got to have them come in.
Yeah, absolutely. But Carlin is Carlin.
Yeah, I'm not going to take a phone call from a lot of these guys. But yeah. George Carlin, okay, he's making time for us. On the phone with him, it was like listening to hair grow.
Really?
It was very, very difficult. And I found that Carlin, for all of his spontaneity, is a very regimented and strict and planned out comic.
Yeah.
Because he played in the city that I was living in. It was New Orleans. He played and there were some audio problems and George didn't care. He didn't riff on it. He didn't change it. Any of that stuff. He just went through the show and kept going and let the audio technicians. And I found out it's a performance. It's like a play. And he just worked all the way through it. And that was really disappointing for me.
I wonder if he does, because he was pumping out at one point a special every year or two. Like, he did, like, 12 or 13 different hour HBO specials.
Right.
And I heard he worked that way, like, where it was very, every movement was kind of choreographed, like a one-man show.
Right.
And I wonder if, because his memory for, like, when he would do a rant about words, and he would rattle off 40 words.
Right.
Like, I wonder if that was the way he had to do it. I only worked with him. It's funny, we did Tough Crowd, and, you know, you would sit there on the panel and do jokes with Colin and whatever, and we would all sneak notes on, and I walked by his dressing room and he goes, hey man, he goes, where do you hide your notes on the set? Because he, you know, he knew as a comic, so I told him I usually put them, you know, behind the candy dish on the right, like where we were sitting. So he hid his notes on the set, and I did the same thing. I would always have notes. So I guess he was very much like to be prepared. But maybe he was running the timing of the special too.
But, well, sir, I'm certainly not going to badmouth the guy, but I mean, because he's Carlin, he's the guy. But what comedian makes you laugh now? What's the guy? Who are the guy? I mean, obviously, you mentioned Trey and Matt from South Park. They must still make you laugh.
I don't watch South Park. I saw Book of Mormon. It was one of the greatest things I've ever seen. But I respect those guys a lot because they attack everybody. I think they're brilliant. But the guys, the stand-ups that make me laugh, Colin Quinn makes me laugh probably harder than anybody. Dave Attell.
Yeah, Dave.
Who I'm working with, him and Stanhope and Artie Lang.
Love Doug.
I love Doug, too. And we're
another
out
guy that
gigs.
Could be killed on stage some night.
If not, his liver's just going to fall out. He's going to cough one time and his liver's just going to come out of his stupid mouth.
He actually was one of the webmasters. If you're looking for something to do on the internet, check out baiting.org. Have you ever seen baiting.org?
No.
baiting.org. It was a website that Doug Stanhope and a whole bunch of people got together. And what they would do, this is back when America Online was the only thing that we did on the internet. And they would go in and they would pretend to be underage kids.
Oh, yeah.
And take, you know, logs of the chats and then post them on this website. And it is absolute hilarity.
Like Perverted Justice almost.
Yes, yeah, so it was unbelievable. What a great website. So there's something. I think it's shut down. I don't think it's shut down. I just don't think they're updating it anymore.
Yeah, Doug, because right now people are so aware that can happen. Doug is great. And me, him, Artie, and Attell did a couple of gigs. We're going to go on the road and do some bigger gigs together. Hopefully we'll get out here because I want to do the celebrity theater with those guys.
It'll be awesome to have you do that. Jim Norton is in town. He's playing the Tempe Improv. And I'm glad you had time to come by, man. It's really
thanks
good
for
to
having me, man.
Finally face to face. Like, yeah. You don't have to deal with all my friends calling you going, hey, Jim, my friend Neanderthal is saying, you know, he's off doing this. Now you have a status update. You can tell the guys at Opie and Anthony, tell those guys I'm alive and well and in Phoenix.
I texted Anthony and he said hello. I haven't talked to Opie yet, but I'll talk to him tomorrow.
That's awesome, man. Thank you for coming by, man.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate it.
Really good to see you. Jim Norton is going to be at the Tempe Improv. You should get your tickets. Oh, by the way, eatabullet.com is your website.
Yes.
And what's your Twitter?
Jim Norton.
Just twitter.com, Jim Norton.
Yeah.
All right, there you go. So you can follow Jim Norton and find out all the depravity that he's involved in.
Thanks, buddy.
Thanks, man.